The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, MPP supporters up in arms against party's affirmative policy. Again, MPP's vice presidential candidate paints gloomy picture of Ghana's economy, but NDC says economy is in a recovery state. Togo to postpone general election to 25th of next month. And all 150 passengers on German Airbus, which crashed in France, killed. The news in detail. Hundreds of MPP supporters have stormed the party's headquarters, protesting against new proposals and guidelines for the party's upcoming primaries. The party, after a NEC meeting, issued a statement announcing a number of affirmative actions the party intends to take ahead of the 2016 elections. As part of the affirmative action, male aspirants are required not to contest. Incumbent female MPs. The female MPs have also had their filing fees slashed by 50% to reduce the financial burden on them. This did not go down well with some supporters who demonstrated and petitioned the party's flag bearer.
As a firm, I must say that this decision has been black on us in the sense that no consultation has been made. And if consultation has been made, necessarily, we are the custodians of the various constituencies. So why were we not consulted first? So that we can gradually talk to our people and tell the sentiment of the people before such a decision. And that is why I believe this decision is far-fetching and is the most unpopular decision that has been taken by our party. My position personally is that I am associating myself with the ordinary people, and I believe that they should constitute a meeting so that possibly the decision should be reversed, so that they create an equal playing field for anybody. It's only natural, right, that you don't discriminate anybody based on gender, based on religion, based on race. And so I believe that our leadership has to sit up and do what will take us to the Jubilee House, come to this issue. I don't believe that the sentiments here are directed towards only one female MP or contestant. No, it's a sentiment that the people are echoing based on women who seven are male, who will one day contest that seat. But when you curtail the right of male to contest the seat, then it means that although they are women, their children who are male cannot contest the seat in the next seat.
Thank you.
And
no.
I believe that it's a fundamental limitation on a human as a person. And that is why you can find a lot of women here. This decision, you should see a lot of men fighting for it. But look at the people here. Of all the people are women. So it tells you that even within the women, the decision is unpopular. So if we want to win power, then we have to sit down.
But most people think that we should give women the chance that women can contest and women can be there. So don't you think this is a form of letting women have like upper hand when it comes to these things? To push them.
Certainly, why not? Why not? I am not against women representation. Not at all. Because I don't sound like a solution. What I'm trying to put across today here as a chairman is to radiate the sentiment of my constituents as a party. However, if it has to do with a particular woman, then I can say that when Ursula was coming to contest Ablekwa West constituency, she was the only female contestant in that race. She contested with the likes of former NADMO Delta Akra Regional Coordinator, Mr. Ben Brown, and the likes of others who have contested that race, who have paid their quota well to that constituency. But the people, in their own wisdom, based on merit and not discrimination, voted for Ursula Usu. And that right should also be given to any other person who is seeking to represent the constituency. I've been inside, but when I got here, the petition has already been submitted by the women. But like I said, I came in to try and make sure that we will not find any part of our party being cast in a bad image in the eyes of the public. For that matter, I last year to talk to them to calm down and to let them know that their petition has been received.
Now, the national organizer of the MPP, John Bwedu, has justified why the party leadership is proposing that women are not contested in some constituencies. Speaking on Behind the News, he said the party stands to gain a lot in its affirmative action policy. Mr. Bwedu also explained why the contestants or aspirants are to pay 30,000 cedis as filing and development fees. He spoke to Agatha Asamoah.
Our constitution is said that even if at a primary we have information
that the candidate either have misconducted himself or herself or have done something that is untoward, that we cannot present him or her, and even at that point to be able to. So that nothing is cast in stone, this is a proposal to encourage and motivate women to increase their numbers in parliament. Only a small caveat: if you're a woman, if you're a useful person and you're a person with disability, you are exempted. We are giving 50% discount.
And how about that development fee, which is 20,000 cedis?
It's all born out of our last primaries that we had. The last primaries we had, we had filing fees, or you take filing fees at 6,000. And if you consider 4 years ago, the cost of living at that time, the inflation, the value of the currency at that time, it is obviously we are even doing proper extrapolation, then we will be sitting at 15,000 or 20,000. Then the development fee was also pegged at 10,000 for constituencies that have certain members of parliament. And that also, if you consider 4 years period, and I think that also led the decision to charge 20,000.
MPP's national organizer, John Boydu. Election pollster Ben Epson says the decision of the opposition MPP to allow only female parliamentary aspirants to challenge the incumbents in some constituencies will block the party's chances in the 2016 general elections. He told Radio Ghana that the trick may only work in constituencies that are stronghold of the party.
If the MPP wants to do embark on affirmative action, in my own little view, they can do better than that. The MPP has at least 100 seats which are safe. It would have been better for them to say, look, we are going to do a raffle and pick 40 of the 100 seats which are safe. Then for these 40 seats, only women should contest the primaries. Then you will know that this one is true affirmative plan, that the 40 women who contest this primaries will be in parliament because it's a safe seat. Now, if I am somebody who was dethroned by a woman in 2012 elections, they were telling not to contest the person. It's a recipe for disaster. Either somebody will go to court, or the person will decide to go as independent candidate and split the MPP vote in the constituency. So it's going to lead to loss of seats, and many of them will be so angry they will not turn up and vote, and it is going to lead to loss of votes for another.
People have raised questions on the 20,000 development fee. What is your view on it?
Attempt to protect the MP. You pay 10,000, you pay 20,000 development fee. If I have that kind of money, the person might as well decide to go and contest an independent candidate. The 20,000 is to deter people, persons from contesting the incumbent, and I don't think it's right.
That was pollster Ben Epson. Now, the running mate of the MPP flag bearer, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, says Ghana could have avoided the IMF bailout if prudent measures were adopted by government to ensure fiscal discipline. Speaking at the Distinguished Speaker Series organized by the Central University College at Mutual near Pram, Dr. Bawumia noted that until measures are put in place to cut down on government borrowing, the IMF package will not have any positive impact on the economy. Mercy Daku has the rest of the story.
The lecture, which was on the theme, the IMF bailout or the anchor hold, touched on key economic indicators, but more emphasis was placed on the IMF package. Dr. Bawumia questioned why Ghana, after 4 years of oil production, will go to the IMF for a bailout package, despite all the revenues generated from the sector and other sources. He said the country does not need the IMF to tell government to cut down on expenditure.
The IMF bailout was totally avoidable if the government had listened to sound advice from many people much earlier. But government refused to listen. Now that their propaganda has been exposed by economic reality, they are now forced to listen to the IMF. Ghana has had many bailouts before. Will the anchor hold this time? What is clear from our experience is that the anchor will have to be provided by the commitment of the government and the people of Ghana to fiscal discipline and sound economic policy, not the IMF.
Dr. Bawumia expressed worry over the continuous rise in the public debt, which currently stands at 76.1 billion, representing 67% of GDP as of 2014. He said the country has now moved from the highly indebted poor country status to what he described as highly indebted middle-income country, HIMIC.
At 67% of GDP, Ghana's debt stock has crossed the critical 60% of GDP level that developing countries with limited access to capital flows should worry about in terms of debt sustainability. In fact, Ghana is right back to the debt unsustainability that led us to HIPIC. However, unfortunately, HIPIC debt relief will not be available again. Ghana's current status can thus best be described as a highly indebted lower middle income country, a HIMIC country.
Touching on the energy crisis, Dr. Bawumia noted that the problem is more of financial than a technical one.
The indebtedness of government has reflected in other sectors of the economy. In the energy sector, for example, government is highly indebted to VRA and ECG. Government owes ECG some 700 million Ghana cedis and owes VRA 1 billion Ghana cedis. The untold about the erratic gas supply from Nigeria is that Ghana owes Nigeria gas $100 million. Nigeria Gas is therefore dragging its feet with regards to the supply of gas while this amount is unpaid. Ultimately, the Dimso problem is more of a financial problem than a technical one.
Commenting on the lecture, the chairman of the CPP, Samia Nkrumah, said Ghana needs an economic revolution by focusing on manufacturing and industrialization to propel growth in the economy.
HIPIC or going for an IMF loan is almost the same thing. You will be subjected to conditions, different names, different forms, but it is the same thing. So we are talking about a complete departure from this economic model that we have been pursuing for the last 30 years. Ghana needs an economic revolution.
Mr. Alan Tremantin also had this to say.
The IMF program is for Ghana. Everybody who understands the value of moving the country forward, be committed to it. It has nothing to do with politics. It's about us making sure that together we work towards moving this economy. But the government has the responsibility. Appreciate all of the lessons that come out of this lecture.
Also present at the lecture was the flag bearer of the MPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, and present and past MPs.
That was Mercy Darko's report. Reacting to Dr. Bawumia's assertions, a member of the NDC communications team, Abdul Hakim Ahmed, says parts of the statement can create anxiety to reduce investor confidence in and outside the country. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Ahmed said the economy is in a recovery state, adding that government's borrowings are being channeled into the productive sectors of the economy.
Our economy has been susceptible to external factors, external shocks from time immemorial. As a primary commodity exporting economy, we have been susceptible to these shocks. And the former deputy governor of the Bank of Ghana takes opportunity to attack the managers of the economy and paint the economy in the bleakest of pictures. You see, what all these things does is that it dampens the confidence of both local and international partners and local and international markets.
What he is saying, is it true or not? As you said, our government keeps borrowing and the debt stock keeps piling up.
There are countries across the world, developing and advanced countries, whose debt to GDP ratios have moved beyond 150%, 200%, and yet they are not complaining. They are developing their countries, they are borrowing more to invest in the productive sectors of the economy. And that is what we are doing. Go across the whole country. You see with your own eyes the kind of infrastructure that is going on. Road infrastructure.
You mean government borrowing is justified?
Government borrowing is carefully choreographed to go into productive investment that will bring returns for those who manage to be paid. No country in this world can develop on the basis of its savings alone.
A member of the NDC communications team, Abdul Hakim Ahmed. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. NPP supporters up in arms against party's affirmative policy. MPP's vice presidential candidate paints a gloomy picture of Ghana's economy, but MPC says economy is in a recovery state. Togo to postpone general election to 25th of next month, and all 150 passengers on German Airbus, which crashed in France, killed. Stay with us. Welcome back. Togo may have to postpone its general elections, scheduled for the 15th of next month to 25th, due to issues with the voters' register. ECOWAS Chair President John Mahama, on behalf of the authority, proposed the new date after meeting with major stakeholders in Togo's election in Lomé. Briefing the media later, President Mahama said most concerns raised by the political parties had to do with validating the register. Pascalina Dadivo has sent this report.
5 member states in the West African sub-region will go to the polls this year. As part of his engagement as chair of the regional bloc, President Mahama visited 2 countries, Nigeria, which is voting on Saturday, and Togo, which has a few weeks to elect a leader. In Togo, President Mahama met with President Faure Gnassingbé, leader of the main opposition party, Jean-Pierre Fabre, other political leaders, and the Independent National Electoral Commission. President Mahama noted that elections and good governance go hand in hand, and nothing should be done to derail these tenets of democracy. He said after engaging with the key players in the electoral process, their main concern was with the voters' register, saying they are expecting the Electoral Commission to clean the register as soon as possible and present copies to the parties. President Mahama said in view of the time that the Electoral Commission needs to clean the voters' list, leadership of ECOWAS is proposing that the date of election be postponed to the 25th of next month instead of the scheduled April 15.
Our discussions indicate that everybody is anxious that we have a voters' list that inspires confidence and everybody can feel confident using it for the elections going forward. The Electoral Commission is working to clean that voters' list as much as possible so that it becomes a credible instrument for the elections that are to be held.
President Mahama further said Togo is bigger than any political party and therefore everyone should be able to accept the results of the elections as the people's choice. He advised leaders of the political groupings to speak to their supporters, not to spark off violence that will result in the loss of lives and property.
We think that Togo's democracy has matured and we should be able to go through these processes without loss of life or destruction of property. There are many issues in respect of political reform that come from the global political accord, and ECOWAS through me have assured that we will engage with all the political stakeholders to ensure that we kickstart the process towards implementing the provisions of the global political accord so that we continue to entrench democracy in Togo and give the kind of confidence to all the political players that Togo is moving forward in a just and democratic society.
Togolese President Faure Gnassingbé is seeking a third term since assuming the seat in 2005. He is being closely contested by the flag bearer of the Union of the Forces of Change, Jean-Pierre Fabre, and other 3 candidates.
That was Pascalina Dadivo's report. Electoral materials for Saturday's presidential and federal assembly elections in Nigeria will be moved from Abuja to 36 states for onward distribution today. 68,833,476 registered voters are expected to cast their ballots in 119,973 polling stations nationwide. Nigeria's Independent National Electoral Commission has given approval for 88 organizations to monitor the election. Our correspondent in Abuja, Sathia, reports.
The 2 most popular candidates so far are incumbent President Goodluck Jonathan and his main challenger, General Muhammadu Buhari. and President Jonathan is campaigning on continuity, while General Muhammad Buhari is also campaigning on change. The campaign is actually running down, and so everybody is trying to combat their last vote with rallies and what have you.
Well, it is no secret that Boko Haram have for some time now made inroads as far as trying to create an Islamic State in the northern part of that country is concerned. Talking about security, how prepared are the authorities in Nigeria?
Well, the security has been picked up, and every joint that gets, you see the police and the soldiers in a well positioned to deal with any eventuality. And if you remember, the election should have been held on the 14th of February last month. So over here, everything has been heightened up, and even those of us who are present still have been advised to be security conscious.
That was our correspondent in Abuja, Seth, talking to Abraham Dongo. Now, the presidential candidate of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, has sent a message to the people of Nigeria, wishing them well in their elections on Saturday. He said the NPP joins the good people of Nigeria in praying for free, fair, and peaceful elections. He said he sees the success of democracy in Nigeria as the success for democracy in Ghana, West Africa, and the continent as a whole. This is because their destinies, hopes, and aspirations are linked in the collective quest to create free, fair, and modern societies of opportunities and prosperity in Africa. Nana Akufo-Addo is also happy that two prominent figures of Ghana are playing key supporting roles in ensuring a successful outcome in the polls. Former President John Ejekum Kufo heads of the ECOWAS Observer Mission, and President John Mahama is chairman of ECOWAS. A 28-member council of the University of Ghana Alumni Association has been inaugurated at Legon with a call by the chairman of the University Council, Justice Dr. Datiba, on members to always protect the image of the university through their activities. Justice Datiba reminded the new council members under the chairmanship of Pakwesi Yankee that the alumni are the main stakeholders of the university and they should never do anything to undermine the integrity of the university. Justice Datiba said he was impressed by the vibrancy displayed by the council members and prayed that this would be translated into service to the university. Pakwesi Yankee, who is serving a second term, assured management the new council will dedicate itself to partner the university to achieve a world-class university status. He said projects like an eye clinic for the Noguchi Memorial Institute, two fountains for the stadium roundabout, and the renovation of the reading room of Jubilee Hall would soon be completed. A delegation from EPP Books Limited donated a brand new saloon car to the new council on behalf of the CEO, Alhaji Jibril Adams. The prevalence of tuberculosis in Ghana currently stands at 264 cases per 100,000 persons. This, the WHO defines as a burden for the country and requires that every person is tested for TB on arrival at a health facility. A survey conducted by the Ghana Health Service revealed that the current diagnostic approach, which is a microscopic procedure, is no longer effective. Therefore, government needs to acquire more sophisticated gadgets to deal with early detection of TB cases. The program manager at the National Strategic Plan, Dr. Frank Bonzu, disclosed this at the commemoration of this year's World TB Day in Accra. We take a breather. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Reports say there are no survivors in the German Wings plane, which crashed yesterday in the French Alps on its way from Barcelona to Dusseldorf. The Airbus, with 150 passengers on board, went down between Dean and Barcelonnette. France's interior minister, who confirmed this, said the cause of the crash is not known, and the plane sent no distress signal during its 8-minute descent. Among the passengers were 16 German pupils returning from an exchange trip. German Wings, a low-cost airline owned by Germany's main carrier Lufthansa has an excellent safety record. French, Spanish and German leaders have expressed shock at the event. Meanwhile, a recovery team has reached the site in a remote mountain ravine, but their work was called off in the evening and will resume today. Now to the news and main points again. Some MPP supporters have besieged the party's headquarters in Accra to protest against a new proposal on affirmative action the party intends to implement ahead of the 2016 elections. The party, after a NEC meeting, issued a statement saying male aspirants should not contest incumbent female MPs, which do not go down well. What did not go down well with some supporters, hence the demonstration. MPP vice presidential candidate for the 2016 elections, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, has questioned government's decision to go for an IMF bailout, saying government is enjoying more revenue. Speaking at a forum at Miocho near Accra, Dr. Bawumia said corruption and unsustainable debt are factors which have resulted in the bailout. About 82% of Nigeria's electoral materials for the upcoming elections is ready for distribution after the election was delayed for 6 weeks due to security concerns. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel is expected. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson in Accra.